God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome in to Do Not Keep Silent. Katie Erickson's my guest. How you doing, Katie?
Doing great. How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing awesome. Glad you're here with us tonight. We're going to dig into who were the disciples of Jesus just a bit, and looking forward to sharing that with you. Again, find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. Yeah, don't be a pushover. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Again, find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Katie, as we get started here, if you don't mind just sharing with our listeners, you know, a lot of people I don't even think know who the disciples were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can probably name a few of them, you know.
Yeah, you know, of course.
I think
everybody
could name, like, Peter, maybe John, James, you
right.
know. I mean, you could name some of them for sure. But
right.
you know what? There were 12. And, I mean, honestly, even I can't, like, just rattle off all 12 of them just yet.
Right, right. So as we get through this, friends, I just want to let you know Katie has written a book called God is Good. Reflections on the Book of Judges, again, written by Katie. And Katie, if you don't mind just sharing a little bit about what is this book about?
So if you ever feel like your life is a cycle of turning away from God, messing up, pleading with God for your rescue, then turning back to Him, well, you're not alone. God's chosen people of Israel experienced the same cycle many times throughout just the time period of the Book of Judges. So in this book, I basically walk through the entire book of Judges for you, basically verse by verse, along with some other relating topics and all of that. And basically, we just look at what are the life lessons that the people of Israel learned through this time period, and how do these lessons apply to our life today as followers of Jesus Christ?
Very exciting. Again, you can find that at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org, available on Kindle and on paper, in paperback as well. I guess it's on paperback.
Sure.
But again, you can find that at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. I'm going to be sharing with you more later on about our conference coming up as well. But let's get into it regarding the disciples.
All right. So if you've been around the Gospels of, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Bible at all, you've likely read about Jesus's 12 disciples. You know, we're all familiar with some of them. You know, Peter, John, Matthew, maybe. But what do you know about, say, Thaddeus? Probably not too much, right? Are you even able to name all 12 of the disciples? I mean, I know I can't, at least not from memory. So in light of that, I'm starting to write this blog post series to give some more insight into who each of the 12 disciples were. Now, with some of them, we don't have a whole lot of information on. But I'm hoping to educate myself, as well as you, our readers and our listeners here, on some aspects of these men's lives that perhaps we didn't know before. And also just to take a look at what they can show us as being disciples and how that relates to us today, also being Jesus' disciples, just in, you know, different form, not walking around with the guy.
Right.
So to start, let's list them. Who were all 12 of the disciples?
Well, hey, before you get to that,
ooh,
I just
suspenseful.
Want to say this.
Yeah.
So, you know, I try at least once a year to get away, do some kind of a solitude time. And one year I went to northern Minnesota to a place called Wilderness North. It was pretty great. And I get up there and they have 12 cabins. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, yeah, we have these 12 cabins and we've named them after the disciples. And I'm walking around and I'm like, I've never heard of that guy. I don't remember that guy.
Yeah, I'm curious who it was.
Well, it was Bartholomew.
Oh, yeah, he was a disciple.
I'm like, who the heck is that?
Mm-hmm.
And then they even had ones for Judas.
Beware of the,
like,
Judas
I
cabin.
I don't want to be in that cabin. So anyways, I just
that's
thought
great.
That was funny. So,
oh, my gosh.
So let's hear
that's really
who
fun.
Are the 12 disciples.
All right, so we have Simon Peter. He goes by both names, so, you know.
Yeah.
James, John, Andrew, Bartholomew, who's also known as Nathaniel. Same guy.
Isn't that interesting?
There you go. A lot of times when they have two names, it's like a Greek and Hebrew thing.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Because, like, they, back in that time frame, pretty much every Jew was basically trilingual because they would speak Aramaic as their common language. They could read Hebrew to read the Old Testament, their scriptures of the day. And Greek was the Koine Greek was their like official formal language of the day. So like government business and stuff had to be in Greek. So a lot of them had Greek names and Hebrew names just because they lived in a world of multiple languages.
That's amazing.
So there you go. Anyway,
so they were actually really educated and pretty smart.
They at least were able
compared to us.
Yeah, a lot of them were able to, you know, do three languages. Granted,
that's
Hebrew
amazing.
And Aramaic are pretty similar. I mean, it's kind of like English and Spanish of like you can sort of figure it out just by knowing, like if you know English, you can figure out about half of Spanish just because
okay.
the words are similar. So Hebrew and Aramaic are kind of like that, but still. Anyway, off the point. So we have the number 5 on
hey,
our list of 12.
At that.
Yes, was Bartholomew, also known as Nathaniel. Number 6 is another James. He was known as James the Lesser. Great title, right? Then we have Judas. Number 8 is Jude, also known as Thaddeus. Again, two different names kind of thing. And then number 9, Matthew, also known as Levi. And then we have Philip, Simon the Zealot, and Thomas.
So there were 12. Two Simons.
There were, which is part of the reason the one guy got called Peter.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, and they kind of like do descriptions
of
like,
confusion.
Yeah, I mean, you got two James, so you have James, and then you have James the Less.
So I'd like to be him.
Right? They actually, I was actually reading a little bit about him today, and so it was actually speculated that he was short, and that's why they called him the Less.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, well, that's interesting.
Poor guy.
Right? I know, what a name to be saddled with, you know? So here you've got like James, and oh, you're James the Less. So... Yeah, but anyway. But yeah, so there's also two Simons, because you had Simon Peter, and then we had Simon the Zealot.
Right.
So. But yeah, so, and again, you know, you'll notice that some of them have two names, like we talked about, but we'll get into that, you know, once we get to the individual posts about them at some point in the future, so stay tuned. But the question is, why is it important for us today to know who these men were, who lived some, like, 2,000 years ago, right? Well, it's actually very important for our Christian faith for a few reasons. First of all, these men are one of the main reasons that you and I can even know who Jesus is today. So right before Jesus left the earth and ascended into heaven, he gave his disciples, those who were around him, some instructions. So for example,
So what were those instructions?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you.
Oh.
So Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, "Then Jesus came to them," the disciples, "and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Also, right before Jesus ascended into heaven, in Acts 1 verse 8, he said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth."
You know, before you get to the explanation of these, and friends, we're going to dig into Matthew 28 for sure just a little bit and kind of talk about that. But before we get to that, I want to share with you some other things, and then also we're going to be talking about our conference coming up on Saturday, October 17th, and we'll do that when we come back. And this is Do Not Keep Silent.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dzurek.
We see in Acts 2 that the early church, well, they were selling their possessions and lands and goods in order to share with other Christians in need. All of this was voluntary, motivated by love and compassion. The early church continued in this way, holding their own possessions loosely with an eye on the needs of the Christian community as a whole. Ephesians 4:28 says, "Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need." Ephesians 4:28. To dig more on this, go find David Odegaard's blog post titled "Care for the Poor."
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Again, want to remind you, Saturday, October 17th. Katie, what's coming?
We are having our free apologetics conference. It is the Here I Stand conference based on a quote from Martin Luther. "Here I stand, I can do no other, so help me God." So this conference is in Findlay, Ohio at the Center for Christian Ministries. Again, Saturday, October 17th from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tickets are required, but they are free.
Yep.
So you can go to worldviewwarriors.org/events or just worldviewwarriors.org, click on events, and you'll see a bright blue poster for it. From there, you can go and reserve your ticket today.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've had questions, you know, well, why aren't you going to just do this over the internet through Zoom or whatever it is? And we just really believe we're supposed to get together. Again, it's a small amount of people. It's not even 100.
Yeah, we're limited on space. And that's intentional because we'd like to have that smaller, more intimate group. So, and that's why you need to reserve your ticket, because we want to make sure that we have space for everybody and we're not going to be too overcrowded during this thing. So there's, you know, space is limited, but yeah, free event. We want to be there in person to be able to interact with you and everything. And we'll have all of our resources. Our books from Worldly Warriors Publishing will all be available there. So you can check those out, get them in person if you don't want to, you know, pay shipping or whatever.
Absolutely.
And just to meet me.
Well, and
I'll be there.
You know, I just want to remind you, too, there'll be a free lunch available. Again, it's from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. So virtually almost the whole daytime, for sure, we'll be together. But we didn't want to make it a long conference of a weekend or anything, but we've got a lot of speakers that are lined up. Who do we got, Katie?
We have Israel Wayne, David Odegaard, myself, Katie Erickson, Steve Reisner, Bill Seng, and Jason Dezurek will be emceeing the event.
Yep, I'll be emceeing the event. We're also working on getting someone to come in and do worship as well. And just looking forward to sharing time with you, sharing what the Lord has laid on our hearts to share. Again, this is about encouraging and equipping those in attendance for furthering the kingdom of God. Again, go find out more information at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org for this conference on Saturday, October 17th. You know, Katie, let's continue on regarding the disciples, and you shared a little bit on Matthew and Acts before we took a break.
So these are instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples, basically right before he left the earth in human form and ascended into heaven. So Matthew 28:18-20 again says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age.'" And then a little bit later, Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So that in this passage from Matthew 28, it's commonly called the Great Commission. Jesus commands his disciples to basically go make more disciples. And many, many generations later, that legacy is how you and I have had the opportunity to become disciples of Jesus.
Isn't that just awesome?
It blows my mind when I think about it, you know?
A thousand years ago.
Exactly. And how many people have come and gone since then, all that.
Yeah.
I mean, if Jesus's gospel message had died with those 12 men, Christianity would have died. And none of us would have the opportunity to know Jesus today. But instead, these 12 men literally risked their lives to carry on that gospel message so that others, too, would get to know Jesus, both their contemporaries, you know, those who lived with them then, and future generations to come. They followed Jesus' instructions to make disciples, to teach them everything that Jesus had taught to them.
You know, I don't know if you get into this, but what I'm so amazed by, I mean, you think about it, Jesus' plan was them.
Yeah, that was it.
That was his plan. And, I mean, yes, he spoke to, you know, before he ascended into heaven, I think there were 500.
Yeah, there's been hundreds of other disciples.
But he spoke to and fed, you know, 5,000 men.
Right.
And I think there was a feeding of the 4,000 and things. And so, yes, he was interactive with them, but he spent most of his time during ministry with 12 guys, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And then even more with three of them.
Yeah.
And so, again, his plan wasn't to be like, okay, we got to have a really good job of advertising and doing all the. It was, I'm going to sink my life into you, and I just am, leaning on you.
Yeah.
It's seriously incredible.
It is. Yeah, I mean, especially because these men were not, like, trained in what needed to be done. You know, they didn't go to like Jesus discipleship school or Bible college, or you know what I mean? Like they didn't they didn't have any formal training in this. Yeah. Most of them actually were not well educated. We know that simply because they were working in careers like fishermen or, you know, tax collector or whatever before they became Jesus disciples. If they were like the brightest and best academically, they would have been rabbis. And, you know, none of them were. So we know like these.
Well, they were working for their fathers.
Yeah, a lot of them. But they were in the family business, you know, whatever that family business was generally. But if they were, you know, the brightest and best, most intelligent kids in their classes, they would have been rabbis, not working in the family business.
They would have already been picked.
Yeah, exactly. So they had already been like essentially done with school because they're like, you guys can't cut it. See ya. So these men were not trained in what needed to be done, but they were trained to hear and respond to the Father. That's what Jesus did. Well, they were all, you know, walking around doing ministry and living together for 3 years. You know, if they knew what they were getting into, maybe they wouldn't have done it, quite honestly. Who knows?
No, but, I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially if they knew how much they would be persecuted because of Jesus after their time with him. Hmm. You know, I mean, if they had known that, like, oh, yeah, sign me up for beheading, please. Like, seriously, who does that?
Yeah. Sign me up for getting stabbed with that spear. It's incredible.
Yeah, sign me up for all this like jail time and miserable conditions, thanks. You know? Seriously. So they spent 3 years living and ministering with Jesus. Basically having all of their preconceived notions about religion just like blown up in their faces. Like, this is not how it actually works anymore. So now, after all this training time, now they know that God will be present with them. They know the goal of making more disciples. You know, fortunately, now they have the power and authority of Jesus behind them in this task. You know, as spreading the gospel could not be accomplished simply by human means.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, friends, you can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. This is Do Not Keep Silent. You can find our parent ministry at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. We're about equipping students to impact this generation for Jesus Christ. And while we continue on, friends, got one more little fast cast to share with you. We'll wrap up and want to tell you about some exciting news coming your way as well.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fast Cast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurich.
I'd like to start out today challenging you. If you take the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life seriously, then you must take the command to care for the poor seriously as well. You see, Jesus said in Luke 16 and Matthew 6, no one can serve two masters. He once told a rich young man to sell everything and follow him. And for this rich young man to follow Jesus, he had to, well, sell everything, thereby receiving eternal life. He had to lose a master to gain a master. He chose to serve the master of money and damned his eternal soul in the process. Friends, to dig more into this idea, I encourage you to go find David Odegaard's blog post titled Care for the Poor.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Just wanted to thank you, those who are tuning in, not just here in the States, but all around the world as well. Those of you who read our blog posts, I appreciate you in South Africa and Vietnam, Great Britain. We thank you, those who are not just listening in, but reading our postings in Germany, France, and even in the United Arab Emirates. We really appreciate you being a part of what's going on here. Thanks so much for tuning in to Do Not Keep Silent. Again, you can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. And again, just want to remind you that Free Apologetics Conference on Saturday, October 17th is coming your way. Go find out more, again, at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. You know, Katie, as we wrap this up a bit. Again, we've got some news, more news for you, friends, but let's wrap this up regarding the disciples.
All right. So we were talking about how, you know, the whole gospel message just was basically, you know, on the disciples' shoulders, right?
Absolutely.
Well, they didn't just keep the message to themselves and their local area. You know, they followed Jesus' command in Acts 1:8, where he told them that, you know, they will be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So they took the message to the entire known world, even to people with whom they would not usually associate. So these courageous men relied on the power of the Holy Spirit that they received to fulfill this mission so that the whole world would have the opportunity to experience God's grace and salvation as they had. So why is it important for us to know who Jesus' original 12 disciples were? It's important for us to know where our faith came from and appreciate these 12 men who gave up their regular lives, you know, whatever careers and the family business that they had, in order to follow Jesus, to learn his teaching, and to bravely share that message with so many others. Most of them are believed to be martyred, giving up their lives for the faith. If they could literally give their entire lives for the gospel message, the least we can do is at least learn about their stories and learn from their examples so that we too can follow Jesus better.
Absolutely. And I just want to encourage you, friends. Katie releases a blog post, I would say virtually, but it's literally
every
Monday.
Yep.
6 a.m. Eastern time. And I just encourage you to go join her on this journey and learn more about, well, Jesus' disciples. Friends, we hope this encourages you and equips you to speak out the truth in love to people and to realize, again, like Katie was saying earlier, I mean, friends, these people literally gave up their lives for the gospel. Literally, you are listening to this because of what they did. I mean, that there's no maybe. I mean, they gave up their lives willingly to expand the good news of Jesus Christ. And so I think what I'm excited about with Katie, because Katie came up with this on her own. She just really felt led by the Holy Spirit to talk about this. And so I think the least we can do is give these gentlemen, oh, a few minutes of our time every Monday and read about them.
Exactly.
And learn about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because there's a lot of really good lessons for us, too, about discipleship, as well as learning the history of who these people were and, you know, how they became his disciples and all of that kind of good stuff. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, before we move on to our next little section, can you just share again, who are these guys? What's their names?
All right, here's the list. Simon Peter, that's one guy, by the way. James, John, Andrew, Bartholomew, also known as Nathaniel, James the Lesser, Judas, Jude, also known as Thaddeus, Matthew, also known as Levi, Philip, Simon the Zealot, and Thomas.
So there you have it, friends, and we're going to dig into that more, of course. And I'm sure Katie will probably share more on the radio program as well later on. But again, every single Monday, again, literally.
For almost 9 years
yes.
now.
Yeah, she hasn't missed a month, or missed a Monday.
No.
Again, released 6 a.m. in the morning Eastern time. And again, you can find that at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Click the blog tab. You'll find it right there, written by Katie Erickson. Now, as we continue on, Katie, we have a book coming from Charlie Wolcott. His pen name is C.A. Wolcott. And friends, this book is called 10 Reasons to Believe the Bible. If you wouldn't mind just sharing a little bit about the book, that'd be great.
I would love to. So the Bible is definitely under attack in our society. You know, there are a lot of like statements or questions that we hear that just really attack the Bible. You know, some people will say, oh, the Bible is just a collection of myths from Bronze Age goat herders or drunk monks.
Yeah.
You know, they might say the Bible has been copied and translated so many times. How can we possibly know what it actually said? Some people will say that there's no evidence that Jesus even existed, or that maybe the Bible really isn't the word of God, or that science has proven the Bible is wrong. So there's so many things in our society that are being used to undermine the faith of believers and to mock and ridicule us for not being educated enough to stop believing it. Yet the Bible is actually more trustworthy and dependable than all the other works of literature out there combined. So 10 reasons why the Bible is trustworthy and reliable are listed in this book, and they will equip the reader to be able to handle pretty much all of the questions thrown at them against Scripture and the Christian faith. So, for example, in this book, Charlie talks about the accuracy of the Bible, you know, and how accurate of a book it really is.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about, like, the construction of it. Where did this book even come from that we can trust it? You know, how was it preserved throughout history? why is the Bible still relevant? You know, is it honest? Does it actually speak the truth? And even things like the public affirmation of the Bible. There are places that, you know, the world has kind of affirmed the Bible for us. And it also talks
just
about
a smidge.
A little bit, you know. But also just the testimony of the saints. You know, people like the original disciples, who people have, like, actually risked their lives for this book. So Charlie, in this book, talks about all of these things with lots of, you know, sources and references and all that. So, you know, you don't just have to take his word for it. You can actually look up these things and, you know, verify his claims for yourself.
Absolutely. Again, 10 Reasons to Believe the Bible, written by C.A. Woolcott.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dezurek.
Too often, it seems as if we're trying to prove that we are right and they are wrong. If we sought to understand the place from which one another was coming from, well, much of this would disappear. For instance, do you understand and can you display compassion for people who do not look like you? For instance, can you answer these questions humbly? Why do people with black skin seem to feel so hung up on racism or white privilege? Why do people with white skin seem to bristle when a person with black skin protests the national anthem? Friends, there's so many things we need to address, and these aren't even the main ones. Friends, listening and seeking to understand is the first and best way to begin to undo the negative effects of racism. You'll find our blogger, Aaron Felty, to dig into more on this on his blog post titled Race, Not Racist.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I won't play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.